This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tom Perriello is the congressman representing Virginia's 5th District in the U.S. House of Representatives, and he joins me on the... Oh, I think we lost you. Let me see if you're right here. Congressman Perriello.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, how are you?
I am here.
Good. I think we lost you on one line and found you on the other.
So, well, I was very graceful there for a moment.
You are coming off of a 2-week recess, and tell us how you spent your spring vacation.
Well, we had a great couple of weeks. We were traveling around with business leaders and local banks, farmers and workers and everyone talking about the economy, starting to see a little bit of signs of life. We're obviously hoping for a big summer construction season where some of our businesses can pick up and start building things again, and we're seeing some signs of that, though I'd certainly like to see more. Did a lot of talking about the health care bill, and I think we saw, you know, during the campaign, the voices for and against were very strong and engaged, and a lot of the folks in the middle really sort of wanted to see what we ended up with, and then just wanted to find out the details of the bill and get into the facts and figures of it. And when we actually got down to the details, people liked what they heard a lot more than what they expected. So, you know, we covered a lot of ground there and did some volunteering as well.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. This is tax day, of course. It doesn't make anybody happy, but it should make, if I read one of your press releases correctly, it should make about 98% of Virginians a little bit happier. And why is that?
Well, 98% of Virginians will have gotten a tax cut in the last year, with the average of that tax cut being over $1,000. And, you know, $1,000 may not mean a lot to someone on Wall Street, but back home, that's real money. And so I think that's not only helping to get some economic relief to working-class and middle-class families in Virginia, but also helping to stimulate the economy and give folks a little bit more to work with and spend. So 98% is a huge number, and we said we were going to cut taxes for most Americans, and we've certainly done that in the first year.
And we're seeing that tax cut right now with this return.
That's right. You know, some of that came out with people's checks week to week, and then they're getting the remainder of it. Others are getting it through expansion of some of the child tax credits. There's a $2,500 tuition tax credit that I wrote that's helping a lot of families who have a kid in college or adults who've gone back to get an additional degree. And again, that covers some of the ancillary costs and not just the tuition for going, say, to a community college. So we've seen it in those areas. Small businesses are able to forward depreciate some of their capital, which has been real helpful for some of our small businesses in the area. And it's really been broad-based. So I think when you're talking about 98% of Virginians getting some form of tax cut in the last year, obviously we're trying to help a lot of folks in tough times.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. The phone lines are open for you if you've got a question or a comment on this tax day. And Howard is on the line in Charlottesville. Howard, you're on with Congressman Perriello. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask you a straightforward question and hopefully get just a simple answer. Congressman, I was wondering if there are any circumstances that you can imagine under which you would endorse or support a value-added tax.
The value of value, I've generally been against value-added taxes and the fair tax proposals that have come out. There are some upsides to them in some cases of simplicity and border adjustability, but I think those are outweighed by the downside that they tend to shift much more of the tax burden onto working and middle-class families. And I think if you look at, you know, the disposable income, the purchasing power of the middle class over the last 25 years, they've really taken it on the chin. And so my concern there is that we would be moving in a direction of shifting more of the taxes down onto the middle class and working class.
So would that be a no?
That would be no on any of the proposals that I've seen so far. But again, if there are a way to figure out some of those upsides of simplicity and border adjustability without having the regressive nature, I would look at them, but certainly no on what I've seen so far.
Thank you.
Howard, thanks for the call. We got a line open at 977 1070. And you're, just to clarify that, your opposition to that is you'd like to see the tax code fairer and simpler. You just don't want to see changes result in the fact that more working Americans carry the load for the rest of the country.
That's right. And particularly, you know, when we're talking about the federal tax level, where we already have state taxes and local taxes that are often more regressive on working and middle class folks. The federal taxes tended to be more progressive, i.e., more on the higher end and a little lighter on the working and middle class. And so I think, you know, if shifting the tax burden in that direction is the wrong thing. I think people, if you look in our country over the last 30 years, it's really been folks who are in that middle class that have been making less and less in real terms each year, but the costs of things from, you know, educating your kid to transportation to housing have gone up in a massive way. So I think most of those proposals are ways, basically, I think, to let the higher end off the hook and dump it on the middle class.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, and it's tax day. We're talking some taxes here. 977-1070 is the phone number, and Ron is on the line in Earliesville. Ron, you're on with Tom Perriello. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Congressman. I have a question regarding the fair tax. A couple of years ago, I read the book about the fair tax, and I would like you to respond specifically with examples of why you think the fair tax will not work.
Well, the fair tax, as proposed, generally would raise taxes on the middle class by thousands of dollars every year.
And again, that's not to say that
I don't think that there are upsides to it. I'm happy to have an honest debate about that, but the end result is that it's a significant tax increase on the working and middle class.
And I would suggest that, based on what you just said, you haven't read the book, nor do you understand it.
No, I've read the book, and I've read a lot of independent analysis on the fair tax. A lot of people have asked me about it, and I think that if you look at the objective analysis, it's clearly something that's going to end up dumping more of the tax burden on working and middle-class families. And that's even assuming the starting point of the 23%, which I think is probably wildly out of pace with what you would end up needing to be revenue neutral.
Well, give me specifics how that would happen.
It's the nature of the tax. You're talking about essentially a regressive tax in that it's a sales tax approach. And so if you look at where the federal income tax levels are right now, and again, this is distinct from where the state and local tax burdens are falling, this would be a move away from what is currently a progressive tax into a regressive tax on middle-class families. It's the basic nature of the tax.
Let's go to David in Charlottesville. David, you're on with Congressman Perriello. Go right ahead.
Yes, the last gentleman really kind of touched on why I was calling, but I do want to make this distinction with that particular tax. There is, in most goods that we purchase, an embedded tax of approximately 22%, which is the payroll tax. What the fair tax is going to do is eliminate that embedded payroll tax. So everyone gets to keep an additional approximately 20 to 22% additional income. Now that the tax, as far as the sales tax is concerned, it basically replaces the previous embedded payroll tax. So it's not going to cost anybody any more to buy the goods that they would purchase. What this does, though, is it puts a tax on consumption, but it doesn't put a tax on income. And so to say that middle class will pay more in taxes, you're not correct. I mean, factually, they will not pay more taxes. It's a consumption tax, not an income tax.
Thank you, David.
Well,
thanks for the call.
I suppose that you would be right to the extent that the middle class didn't consume anything. If they didn't buy goods, if they didn't buy services, if they didn't purchase any number of things, I suppose that would be right. But the fact is the middle class does do that and does it with a higher level of their disposable income than the upper end of the income stream does. and therefore it absolutely falls on working and middle class folks. And I think in a way that is not the right direction for us to go. And you know, I'm trying to be upfront. I think that the potential simplicity arguments are there, and the trade issues are there. I'm not saying it has no merits, but I'm saying the impact, as with most consumption taxes, will be to dump more on the middle and working class.
And from what I understand, it's a percentage. It's not that you necessarily pay more; it's the percentage of your income that is so much higher on paying for taxes on what you purchase versus the very wealthy rich in America. The percentage of income that they pay on their goods would be very small, and that would plummet. And the percentage that you pay in your taxes for the middle class and working class would go up.
That's correct. And this is actually all still working within the assumptions of the advocates of the tax. Those who have been the independent economists who've looked at it have also gone on to, of course, talk about the fact that there are a fair amount of fairly naive assumptions built into the tax itself in terms of where you would have to set the level and when you would hit black market activity and other events. It depends some on which taxes you set off in that direction and other things. So, you know, I'm even trying to give the benefit of the doubt here on the assumptions we're starting with, but there are those elements that would make it even more concerning in terms of the percent that would fall on the working and middle class. But I think if you contrast that with what we have done, where you see 98% of families in Virginia, sorry, I was just walking into a different spot.
Past the rodeo, I guess.
I have not had time to exercise here really since taking this job, but 98% of Virginians getting a tax cut over the last year, that averages over $1,000 in terms of tax cut. 98% doesn't mean that we're, you know, sticking it to the upper end of the echelon either. We're talking about something where we're trying to get tax relief off the board, and I think that's important. I think simplifying the tax code is another issue that that's also very serious.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Before we let you go, what's the latest on health care? There's still a lot of people in this country who are truly angry that health care, and insurance reform has been adopted by the United States government. Very, very angry, and some people saying this is unconstitutional, and you have, you know, folks like Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli saying we're going to take you to court and fight this. What are your thoughts on this issue?
Well, you know, we've actually seen a very different reaction. We've certainly seen that anger consistently over the last 6 or 8 months. We've seen people who were, you know, desperately for this bill over that time period. But for a lot of folks in the middle, it's really always been about dollars and cents. If this is going to save me money on health care, sign me up. If it's going to cost me more money, get lost. And when they find out that small businesses in our district are immediately getting a tax cut covering 30% of the premiums that they pay, and that'll rise up to 50%. When senior citizens find out there are going to be no more co-pays on their primary care visits, or closing the prescription drug donut hole, and we've increased the solvency of Medicare by a decade, these are extremely important nuts and bolts things for people. When they can go to the Kaiser Family Foundation independent analysis websites and put in their income information and find out they're saving $2,000 to $4,000 a year on this bill, again, for a middle class family of four, that's real money. And I think we sometimes get lost here talking about billions and things, but $2,000 to $4,000 of savings under this health care bill for a middle class family is significant. It really is. And so I think when people get into it and see this, and they understand this was a basic framework set up by Senator Bob Dole in the mid-90s and Mitt Romney and others, that it's a Republican idea of combining personal responsibility, everybody's got to be part of the system, with corporate responsibility of saying, hey, if everyone's going to have to be part of this, we're going to make sure the insurance companies follow basic principles of decency and accountability. And in doing that, I think, we were able to really come up with something that helped shore up a system that was on increasingly shaky ground. But, again, I think for most people, they just want to understand at the kitchen table, what does this mean to me? And what we are hearing from our senior citizens is a switch from people saying, heck no, to saying, hey, make it happen faster. We like that, and we like that, and we like that. And can you speed that up? So, I think that's a good sign that we're headed in the right direction.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. And last question here, you're gearing up for a reelection campaign. And it made news recently that you are receiving records, setting records for financial support, people investing in your reelection bid. What are you going to be running on? Give us an idea and preview your campaign for us. What's going to be your message for 5th District voters when this reelection campaign kicks in?
Well, first, we really appreciated the support, and we've sort of been rewriting the norms here by not taking money from lobbyists and over 80% of our donors being small donors. That's just not the norm. But, you know, coming from sort of the internet era, able to help gather small donors really from across Southern and Central Virginia, and, you know, it's been a great outpouring. But what I said all along is, you know, I'm going to work as hard as humanly possible to produce results for the district. And I think if you look at what we're actually doing to rebuild competitive advantage, look for those game changers where we can be at the forefront of the new energy economy, the new automotive economy, where we can be developing a workforce that is second to none around the world. These are important things. And so these ideas all came from listening to people. People said, you know, I want it to be a little easier to send my kid to college. I want it to be a little easier to go back and get another degree or certificate program. Those are all things we put in motion, helping our veterans out as well. So I think at the end of the day, what we need to get beyond is some of the ideological rhetoric to real results that matter for working families. So getting tax cuts out to 98% of Virginians, bringing investment to the area, those are really important things. So, you know, I haven't really thought about the reelection as much as I've just thought of trying to do my job as best I can. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep working as hard as humanly possible to produce as many results as possible for the area. And, you know, from there, we'll just sort of let the people decide.
He is the congressman from Virginia's 5th District, Congressman Tom Perriello. Tom, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.